What are the rules for entering heaven?
There is only one guaranteed way to go to heaven.
Which is?
According to the scripture, that's through Jesus Christ.
But what if you're not born again?
Yeah, if you're not born again, then you don't have the assurance
of going to heaven.
Life.
So only Muslims go to paradise. Everyone else in the world goes to hell. Yes? That's a lot of people in hell.
Yes, many people.
You were sitting opposite me. Would you like me to go to hell? I am not a Muslim.
No, it's not that I want it. It's what God wants. You should follow Muhammad.
Or, if I do not?
Then, of course, you're going to hell.
Religion is all superstition.
Let me just ask you directly, does heaven exist?
No. Heaven doesn't exist. Hell doesn't exist. We weren't alive before we were born, and we're not going to exist after we die.
All right, that's some sound from Barbara Walters' special on Tuesday night, the two-hour special, Heaven, Where Is It, and How Do We Get There? Interesting contrast between, we've heard first Pastor Ted Haggard of the National Association of Evangelicals, and then a Muslim terrorist who was a failed suicide bomber, and finally an atheist. She is the least equivocal of all of them. The atheist. Simple. No. Heaven doesn't exist, and hell doesn't exist. If you're neutral on the issue, watching Barbara Walters Tuesday night, no religious affiliation whatsoever, who would you say is the most adamant about their beliefs? You know, Christians criticize the beliefs of atheists all the time. Atheists are one of the major whipping boys of pop evangelicalism. But the atheists, apparently, at least in this case, are firmer in their beliefs and their willingness to state them simply and unequivocally than the Christians are. And compared to the atheist, the Muslim, Ted Haggard, president of the National Association of Evangelicals, he sounds like Stuart Smalley. Well, no guarantee. Yes, I'm sorry. I guess in the end, after the third question, Barbara, maybe some non-Christians are going to hell. It's Open Lines, Issues, etc. for the next 20 minutes. Call now. Are you disappointed with the way the Christians availed themselves of the opportunity given by Barbara Walter to speak clearly on the issue of heaven and hell, where is it, and how do we get there? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, I do not know what Mitch Albom is. I have no idea, but in a few minutes we're going to hear from him. He has written the book, Five People You Meet in Heaven. It is fiction, and he is of the mind that heaven may or may not be fiction. We were talking with Dr. Norman Nagel a few minutes ago and talking about the great gift of Christmas, the exchange that God has made. We are going to gather around with our families and exchange gifts, great and small. Think at this time about gifts given to those who we don't see every day and those we do not count among our circle of loved ones. LCMS World Relief is bringing the gift of your concern and your love and of the message of Christ and Him crucified for sinners together to those in real need all year round. Their toll-free number, 1-888-930-4438. 1-888-930-4438. Or find them at our website. Their logo is there on the homepage, issuesetc.org. We're not only near the Christmas season, but also near the end of the year. So think about a year-end tax-deductible gift through LCMS World Relief, 1-888-930-4438, or find them at our website, issuesetc.org. It's Open Lines, talking about Barbara Walters' special. We've got a little audio to play for you here in a few minutes. But first, let's talk with Steve. He calls from his car. Steve, welcome to Issues, Etc.
You know what was so disappointing about Ted Haggard is?
What's that?
It's the fact that when you don't preach Christ the crucified and you don't preach law and gospel, everything becomes relative. And it's all about the individual and not about the Christ. And that's where I think he falls flat. He fell flat on being absolute in his position.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think there's a connection? And you're not simply making this up, because we had Ted Haggard on the program some months back, and I asked him point blank, do you think Christians need to hear the message of sin and grace, our sin and Christ's perfect life and death and resurrection on a regular basis, week by week in sermons, he flatly answered no. Why do you think, Steve, there's a relationship between not preaching the cross for sinners and equivocating on basic questions like who goes to heaven, who doesn't?
Okay, I'm going to answer your question by asking, remember when Jesus was having a discussion with the Pharisees on how to read the Bible?
All right.
Now, how did Jesus tell the Pharisees how to read the Old Testament?
They look for me.
Look for him. Now, when Ted Haggard looked to the Old Testament, what is he looking at?
Well, he said in our interview that he finds, although he thinks, you know, Jesus certainly is important, there's, in his words, there's much more than Jesus in the Bible.
Bingo. How is that any different than how the Pharisees read the Bible? Because remember, Jesus told the Pharisees that you read the Bible looking for, hoping that you'll find eternal life in those words, as opposed to looking to Christ. Is a lot of the way preachers are now, then they do is they look to the Bible for eternal life, as opposed to looking at the Bible as how it conveys the truth of Christ.
Man, you ought to be hosting this show, Steve. Thank you very much. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Looking to the Bible for eternal life rather than looking to the Bible to find eternal life in Jesus Christ. That explains why Ted Haggard said he thought his preaching is better Bible-based than exclusively Christ-based or cross-based. Interesting. Interesting. My head is spinning. If Jesus isn't the center of your theology, if he isn't the center of your preaching, your teaching, your thought, the way you read Scripture, if Jesus isn't the center, then all these questions like heaven or hell get really blurry. You can't say for sure that if someone's actually living by, well, what if someone's living by everything else in the Bible except Jesus? Well, I guess they're 90% of the way there. That explains a lot of the equivocation. Smartest listeners in radio, no doubt about it. Kurt's up next. Kurt, welcome.
Thank you, Pastor Wilkin. This is Kurt, the person that you met at Peace down in South County about a year or so ago.
Uh-huh.
You remember me?
I think I do.
I did watch that Barbara Walters thing the other night, and you said to call if there was anything that was disappointing.
What was it?
Well, I knew that when I turned on the TV, from the time that she came on to the time she left, I was going to be disappointed. So I was not shocked. Any time you go to the media to give you direction on heaven or God or anything, I mean, you know, are you really going to get any kind of accuracy there?
Well, okay, but where was it? Where was it unbiased? I mean, where was it biased? You know, if you're playing the kind of the media bias card, Kurt, where was the bias as far as you see in the Barbara Walters special?
I'm glad you asked that question, because that's where I'm going to get exactly to my point. The bias comes in every single time the media, who is clueless about Christianity, every time they want to find answers, where do they go to? They go to Catholicism, or they went to Muslim, they went to the Jewish people. Why do you never, never, never see any of them go to the Lutherans? And I'm sorry for anyone out there listening who I may offend, but who else has a greater accuracy of God than the Lutherans?
I'll tell you why, Kurt. I mean, I can answer your question very simply. They don't know we exist. For the same reason you don't know that microbes exist. I mean, that you don't notice them on a daily basis. We are small and insignificant. Now, worldwide, no. I mean, worldwide, Lutherans are, you know, probably fourth. You got your Catholics, that's half of all Christians. You got your Anglicans, that's 77 million strong worldwide. And I think your Lutherans fall somewhere behind that. Maybe Baptists are outnumbering us. Who knows, or Pentecostals. But we're not on the map. We aren't. And sad to say, I wonder, given the courage of our convictions, whether we would avail ourselves of that opportunity better. Heck, if I'm a producer for Barbara Walters, I want someone who's going to be interesting. And equivocating answers aren't interesting. You can get equivocating answers from anybody. Really. It's Open Lines, Issues, Etc. Our call-in number is 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Here's Steve from Fenton. Hi, Steve.
Yeah, hey, Todd. How you doing?
Doing good.
Good topic here. I taped the show because I was out that night and watched most of it last night up to about the point of the guy who wrote the book about the five people you meet in heaven, and then I had to call it a night. I think the first Steve there, just a couple callers from me, a lot of my thunder. That was just an excellent way he exposited the weaknesses of that show. But something else I wanted to point out, if you have that clip, is his explanation of what it meant to be born again was very, I mean, just completely experiential in its nature.
Yeah,
I don't know if you've got that clip up or not, that you could play that one too, but I thought it tied in really nicely with the rest of his comments.
All right, Steve, thank you very much. Now, you're making reference to, we did play this yesterday in the full interview, and it's not sitting up here in the studio right now for us to have access to. We've got it, and in a future time we can play it. But I remember very distinctly what he said about what born again is. And it was interesting. It was not put in terms of faith or in terms of Christ. She said, what does it mean to be born again? He said, the Spirit of God unites himself with your spirit and creates in you a changed life, a different character. Apparently, being born again doesn't really have anything to do with trusting in Jesus Christ. Or at least, I mean, could you ask a more simple question of an evangelical where the born-again experience is the one top three things that make evangelical? She started out by saying, what is an evangelical? We believe the Bible is God's word, Jesus is the Son of God, and you have to be born again. I've asked Ted Haggard that question. He gave me exactly the same answer. What does it mean to be born again? The Spirit of God unites himself with your spirit and produces a changed life. Where's forgiveness? Where's mercy? Where's Jesus' death on the cross? Is it only that Jesus is the Son of God? Is that shorthand for Jesus died for sinners? There are New Age people who could say, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. So am I. And so are you. And I believe that the Bible is God's word. And I believe that the Quran is God's word. And I believe that the Hindu scriptures are God's word. I think it's all good. And there are New Age people who could say, I've been born again. God's spirit united with mine, and I'm a different person. And all of that can be true of someone who is New Age. And if you say, what about Jesus' death, life and death being the sacrifice for sin? They're going to say, sin? What are you talking about? No, Jesus is the Son of God. He's here to show me that I'm divine. See how different the conclusions are when the definitions are so very blurry. And the other thing that I found interesting about his definition of being born again was, and you're very right, Steve, all internal, all subjective, all about experience, rather than external, objective, outside of you, and certain you're born, your new birth, not because you experience it, but because God says it is so. The analogy used in Scripture, adoption. What makes it certain? Because you feel adopted? No. Because you are. Because the adoption papers say it so. That's objective. That's outside of me. That's certain. So what did you think about Barbara Walters' special on heaven? Give me a call, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Tomorrow on the program, very interesting conversation with Dr. Richard Bucher. We're just going to do a Q&A and an FAQ on Christmas. What is true about Christmas? What isn't? Santa Claus? Christmas tree? Why do we exchange gifts? When you look at a nativity scene, is it accurate? Did Christmas begin as a pagan holiday? Does that mean it's still pagan? Does that mean Christians can't celebrate it? All those kind of questions with Dr. Richard Bucher tomorrow on the program. And then Sunday night from 10 to 11 on 91.5 FM here in St. Louis, the birth of Christ according to St. Matthew. Luke gets a lot of play this time of year because his account is fuller and has more details. But Matthew also has an account of Christ's birth as well. Dr. Jeff Gibbs will be our guest Sunday night from 10 to 11 on 91.5 FM here in St. Louis to talk about that. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Up next, here's Cindy. Hi.
Hi. I was thinking about what he said about working out. They've just got to work it out. Well, do you think that that could be a reference to Philippians 2:12 about working out your salvation with fear and trembling? Because if it is, if that's what he's referring to, he's not... That's not a good interpretation that he's using that far. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know what he meant by it because I've talked with Hagar before, so I kind of have and read his stuff, and so I was kind of anticipating how he might answer the question, and that one just threw me, Cindy. I do not know what he meant by that. Now, if it were a reference to the Philippians passage where Paul famously says, "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling," what does it mean then? Paul there is speaking to Christians. That's important to note, first of all. He's not making a universal declaration to all people. So if he spoke those words only to Christians, it's difficult to understand why Pastor Ted Hagar would apply it explicitly to people who aren't Christian. I don't think that's what he was doing. I think he found himself in where you always do when you equivocate. On something that is certain and sure and beyond doubt and a settled issue. When you equivocate on it and you're pressed in your equivocation, then you have to start making stuff up as you go along. I would love to have had Barbara Walters say, "What does that mean? Work it out. Work it through." Now, if he meant by that, They're going to have to at some point deal with the claims of Christ to be the Savior of the world. That's different. But that would have been just as easy to say rather than they're going to have to work it out. I don't think he meant they're going to have to just work for their salvation. I certainly hope he didn't mean that. Christians get a pass and don't have to work for their salvation, but everybody else has to just kind of trudge along the way and stay on the treadmill. But once you back off on the certain thing and the unequivocal thing, once you begin to back off on that, then everything else becomes certain. And I think Steve's insight, the call a few minutes ago, is really key here. That once certainty of salvation is disconnected and divorced from Jesus, and that our certainty lies solely in him and what he did for us. Once you divorce salvation from the certainty that is in Jesus Christ, and since that teaching is the center of all theology, then everything else becomes, to one degree or another, equally uncertain. Let me use an analogy, kind of a mathematics analogy. If somehow I could convince you that simple addition and subtraction that we all learned in our early grades of elementary school is all bogus, that 1 plus 1 doesn't really equal 2, or that 2 plus 2 doesn't really equal 4, then every other mathematical question, no matter how complex or distant it may be from the simple 1 plus 1 or 2 plus 2, is all just completely up for grabs. If you can overturn the most basic, elemental, fundamental thing in math, you overturn it all. And if you are willing to allow wiggle room, as it appears Pastor Haggard was, on whether Jesus is the only way of salvation, or as he put it, well, he's the only guaranteed way. There may be other ways, but they're not guaranteed. I mean, they might or might not work. You have less of a chance. Something along those lines. The minute you are willing to permit wiggle room there, then everything else is up for grabs. And I think this is precisely why Jesus says what he says to the Pharisees. You notice how much he comes back to that? He not only says to the Pharisees, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but these are the scriptures that testify of me. He in another place says, look, you're all about reading the Moses and the prophets. If you believed Moses, you would believe in me, for he testified of me. Jesus, is there any equivocation in Jesus? Does Jesus say, you know, I'm about 90% of what Scripture's about? Or does he say, I'm a good 85% of what that book is all about? No. He says, these Scriptures, all Scripture, testifies of me. And when John writes in his Gospel, these things are written, he does it twice. These things are written. He doesn't say, these things are written so that you might live a good moral life and know how to take care of your family. Oh, and by the way, also believe in Jesus Christ. No, he says, these things are written that you may believe, and believing have life in his name. We're at the end of the year, also at the end of this week. Consider a year-end tax-deductible gift to help us contend for truth in an age of anti-truth here on Issues, etc. You can donate online. Our website is very easy to get to and easy to remember, issuesetc.org. There's a way to give right there on the homepage. You can also give by credit card. Give us a call at our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. You can also donate by check. Write us at Issues, Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. You will not find programming like we heard today from Dr. Norman Nagel anywhere else on radio. For any gift of $50 or more, we'll send you a CD of the Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, Contrary, singing beautiful Christmas hymns. So how do you intend to celebrate Christmas? Not the presents, not the tree, not even the family. The Christ. The Christ. And what he has done for us at the cross. Buzz, Merry Christmas to you. You have a happy Merry Christmas with you and yours as well. Jeffy, Merry Christmas to you and to everyone listening to Issues, Etc. Merry Christmas. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues, Etc., please visit the audio archive section at KFUO.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM 850 KFUO. Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.